Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, whatever his name is, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Father, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds to hear the depths of your truth. Father, we've come to a time and an age where we no longer are satisfied by the shallow teachings of carnality and religious traditions. But Father, we're after the meat. We want the depths of what you have for us, because only your truth is going to change the way we think and bring us truly to the fullness of the mind of Christ. And this day, Father, we step into that place and we say amen to whatever you desire to do in our lives. Father, we love you and we bless you. Okay. I want to say something before I get into Colossians and break this down. Does anyone remember what the word Galatians means? I said Galatians. Huh? Righteous, white or righteous. Now, this book was written to who? The Galatians. Righteous. This book was written to the righteous people, okay? The righteous one. Who would that be? First fruit, okay? Then we come to Ephesians. What does that word mean? Permitted. So it's written to the who? To the ones that's permitted to hear it, or the ones that's going to hear the depths of this book, okay? And who would that be? First fruit, right? You're right, I'm just saying, first fruit. Now we go to the Philippians. What does that book mean? Lover of horses or lovers of humanity? Now, this is good because he's writing it to the ones who truly love humanity that have, they're righteous and they began to hear or permitted to hear this truth. They've been able to go through the eye of the needle. Okay? We're talking about first fruit. Now, we come to the book of Colossians. Does anybody know what the word Colossians stands for? Because this isn't some coincidence that these were put together the way they are. I know some man somewhere, some group of men, lined out these books and put them in an order. But I think God still has a control of everything, and everything's done in His order the way He wants it. If you disagree with that, that's okay. But I still believe my Father controls and sets up all things. Okay? Anyone know what that word Colossians means? It means correction or corrected. So guess who he's talking to now? He started out with the righteous ones, didn't he? And then he went to the ones that were what? Permitted to hear, right? And then he come to a place where they were loving humanity, okay? But see, even in that place, we can get off base. See? We have to love humanity in the ways of the Spirit of God. Make sense? Now he's going to come back and he's going to correct us. We've got all this stuff in us, but now it has to be shaped and molded and put into the right order. Does that make sense? Like some pressure, maybe, that will shape everything and bring it into that perfect form that God wants us to be in. Make sense? First, it's Galatians, righteous, or white or righteous. Then Ephesians, permitted. Then lover of horses is Philippians. Lover of horses. And that's really humanity, lovers of humanity, okay? And then we come to Colossians, which means correction or corrected. So the book is written to the ones that are corrected or being corrected, and the end result is going to be a correction, which will be perfection, okay? That's the intent of these books. They're laid out in order, and when as you see these things come through in the order they were written, the purpose is to bring you to that place of what? Correction to perfection. That's the purpose of this stuff. Okay. Now we're going to go back and start with verse 1 of chapter 1, verse 1 of Colossians. Paul, an apostle. What does the word apostle mean? One sent with orders from God. Okay? He's sent from orders. But he's an apostle, it says, of Jesus Christ. So guess where he got his orders from? Christ through God. Just that Christ was in us, right? Through the will of God. See, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. It was God's intent that Paul be the apostle. Okay? And Timothy, our brother. Now, we could say, well, that's Timothy saying, amen, yeah, Paul's the apostle. I don't think that's what it's saying, because I believe Timothy was an apostle as much as Paul was. He was fruit from Paul's ministry. He was raised up under him and made him to be that same man that Paul was. And we're not talking about Paul being a great man, Timothy being a great man. We're talking about the Christ coming to maturity in those two people. Okay? And he said, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ. Now, he didn't say to all the faithful people that have Jesus in them, did he? He said to the ones that were in Christ. Here's the correction being started already. See, it's not about Jesus being in me. It's not about Christ being in me. It's about me being in Christ. Because when Christ is in me, you're looking at me. But when I'm in Christ, you can't see me, because the only thing you can see is Christ. because I am no longer visible. You hear me? That's what this picture is all about. He's correcting things, setting them back in order the way it should have been. He's reconciling. This book is a book of reconciliation, setting things back in the order they should have been from the very beginning. But our minds perverted them and took them way out there somewhere. And now Father's bringing it back through this certain group that he chose. He's going to bring it back. And this is his progression. Okay? Oh, we're going to have a good time in this one. He said to the saints and faithful brethren to Christ, which are not at but in Colossae. That means they are in the process of being corrected. Remember what Lloyd taught us here this morning. Remember this here? We're in the process, see? We come past the place of confusion, but now we're in the process and we're starting to be pressed in there, see? And the ones that are being permitted to be forced through this eye of the needle that we talked about this morning, guess what? They're the ones that's in correction. The rest of them are just running free. And the God called that the wild ass nature that humanity is. They can just do anything they want to do. Okay? But he says, now he's addressing the ones that are being pressed through this eye of the needle. Okay? Look what he says. Grace to you and peace. You know why Paul said that? Because he needs you. He knows you need it. He knows you're going to need it. Paul's already been pushed through that eye of the needle. He said, I went through the shipwrecks. I went through the crucifixions. I went through the stonings. And I'm going to tell you, when they stoned him, them Jews know how to kill a person. These religious folk know how to slam dunk you. They got the headstone. When they get done, they come up and crush your skull with it. They know if you're dead. See, but God resurrecting. See, he's been through it. He knows what you're going through, and that's why he's trying to tell you, look, you're in correction. You're going to need grace and mercy. You better be ready to receive it, and you better be ready to give it to somebody else. He said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. The word thee isn't there. He's our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. They are one, aren't they? We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means he birthed this. He brought it about. He's our Father. And he birthed Christ. Praying always concerning you. See, every time they pray, it's concerning you, the first fruit. He's always praying about the first fruit to bring them through. Since we heard of your faith in Christ. See? They didn't believe that there was a person called Jesus. They believed in the Christ within this person. And of the love which you have to all the saints. How many saints? Just the ones you like? All saints. Because of the expectation, it says hope, but the expectation or confidence, which is reserved, what? By, should be the word by instead of for, by you. It's reserved by you where? In the spirit realm, in heaven. See, it's reserved by you. Why is it reserved by you? Didn't Jesus tell you to lay up your treasures where? In heaven. Why? That's where their life is. Don't count on all this worldly stuff that's passing away. Put it up here, see? And you're the one that has to make the deposit. Hello? As you struggle to get through all this stuff, guess what you're doing? You're making deposits. You're making deposits. When you love somebody that's not lovable, guess what you just did? You just made a deposit. Yes, Claudia, you did. You made a deposit when you love somebody that's not lovable. See? Can you hear what I'm saying? This is how you make deposits in heaven. It's not about going to a bank somewhere and depositing gold or silver or diamonds. It's giving the love of God, which is the true gift of God. And when you give that, that is making a deposit. Because guess what? The kingdom of God is within you. You want to lay it up into the kingdom of the Spirit? You lay it up within somebody. Okay? When you help somebody who needs that help, who don't know what love is, that is making a deposit into the realm of the Spirit. Okay? I'm going to get excited this morning too. Yeah, I know it. Okay. but it says, because of the expectation or confidence that is reserved by you in the spirit realm, where you heard before. Now look, it said it's reserved in the spirit realm where you heard before. Now wait a minute. No, he said, you already heard this stuff in the spirit. Hello, listen to me. You heard this from God, not from a man. You heard this long before I ever come on the scene in your life. You heard this before the foundation of the world. Hello? He heard this from the foundation of the world. He said, in the word of truth of the gospel. The gospel is not that Jesus died on the cross. The gospel, according to this scripture, which starts in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and the truth of this is, says, he preached the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations of the world be blessed. There's the gospel. And when we heard it, guess what he's talking about? It's that L word. It's love. See, God loves everybody, not just a few. He loves them all. So guess what? That's the truth of the gospel. When you heard this truth of the gospel, that God loves even me. When you believe that God loves me also, and you also, all people, we're all his children. See? When you believe that, there's when things are going to start happening in your life. I walked in religion. I played the game. I jumped through the hoop like a trained seal. I did what the preachers told me to do. But you know what? It brought no fruit in my life. All it brought was condemnation and guilt. But you know what? When God began to speak into my life and bring truth to me, and I began to express this truth externally, what was going on internally in my life, man, that's when the stuff started happening. And it wasn't very nice. I mean, they started calling me all kinds of names and still call me those names today. But you know what? I have this peace that they preach about. I have this peace because it dwells within me. It's not an external thing that I can grab a hold of whenever everything's good. I'm talking peace is eternal. Anything of God's is eternal. Would you agree to that? Okay, he said, my peace I give unto you. Okay, if you lay a hold of that peace, you ain't never got to give it up. I don't care what anybody does to you. I don't care about circumstances, situations, diseases, illnesses, deaths in the family. It don't mean nothing. I don't got to give my peace up, and I talk like a hillbilly because I am. But I don't have to give it up. Okay? Hillbillies don't have to be stupid just because they talk a different way than other people. That don't make us stupid. We just don't talk the same way everybody else does. Okay? But we heard it before, right? Or already in the word of truth of the gospel. The truth is, the gospel is a reconciliation of whole creation. Verse 6, which is come, or which is what? It is come, present tense, to you. And, it says, which come to you as, the two next two words, it is, shouldn't be there, they're italicized. As, not in, but as to all the world. Now let me read it to you the way it should say it. The word of truth of the gospel, which is presently came to you as to all the world. Does that make more sense? It's come to you, and he said, the way it come to you, it's come to who? The whole world. And brings forth fruit as, the next two words, it does, doeth, or whatever, at King James stuff ain't there, as also in you. It'll bring forth in the world the same as it brings forth in you. Do you understand that? If this truth comes into your heart, this message of reconciliation, it will bring forth fruit in your life. It will bring forth a lot of hell before the fruit comes forth. You hear me? You're going to have to go through some death time, some winter time. You're going to have to go through some seasons of rain and wind and all these hard pressures of life until the blossom flies out in the springtime when it's real nice and warm. Feels so great. But you know what? That fruit still ain't ready yet. It's just a pretty flower. And the book says them flowers will fade away like all the other flesh. See, we're not looking for pretty flowers in our life. We're looking for a fruit that's withered through all the time and season of this growing season till they come to the time of tabernacles, the time of ingathering, the time of oneness, until we come back to where we're supposed to be and bring forth, as the book says, our whole purpose is that you bring forth much fruit to your Father. That's what it's about. Come on. And that's giving love to people and bringing them back to their Father. There's much fruit. Okay? Woo! And bring forth fruit as it does also in you from the day you heard. From the day you heard this, it started to do what? It started to produce a fruit in you. And you knew, okay, or you and you understand the grace of the truth, of God and the truth. So at the very beginning, from the time that you heard this, you began to understand the grace of God in truth. The grace of God is He created everything for a purpose, right? Ecclesiastes 3, I think it's verse 9, 10, says that God has placed the world in our hearts so we couldn't know the end from the beginning. Guess what? He's got a purpose for us going through it. I was asked this weekend many times, why would God let all this suffering come upon people? I said, you don't understand. This isn't what He's after. He's not trying to save these fleshly bodies so He can try to fluff and buff them. That's not what it's about. It's about the Spirit that's inside of us. That's all it's about. And this is nothing more than a suit. Like a man going into space would have to wear a space suit to survive. Well, in this world that is nothing but death, in this earth that we live on is a death realm, to live and survive in this, we have to have an earth suit. And we're all wearing earth suits today. And that's only for a period of time until we step through where we're going. Once I get through with here and step back in the spirit realm, I don't need an earth suit no more. See? Who wants to live in this old broken down body for eternity? Not me. I'm looking for the better things, okay? Oh, gosh. Since you daily heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, thank you, our dear or lovely co-slave, okay, who is for you a faithful minister, teacher, pastor of Christ. See? He's a faithful teacher or a pastor or a minister of Christ who also declared or made plain by words to you, to us, your love in the Spirit. Through this, the word cause shouldn't even be there, verse 9. Through this, we also, since the day we heard, cross out the it, it's added, do not cease to pray concerning you, okay? Concerning you. And to ask, not desire, but to ask that you might be filled with the full knowledge, not just knowledge, but the full knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now this word spiritual should be both places. All wisdom. What good's wisdom if it's not spiritual wisdom? It should be spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. See? Understanding and wisdom is something that we can't work without. You can have all this knowledge, but if we don't have wisdom and understanding on how something works, and not just knowledge, because knowledge is just a base of information. Wisdom is the ability to use that information that you have. And understanding comes right along with it. It helps you utilize all this information that we have. And since God wrote it in our heart, now all we have to do is have the understanding and the wisdom to use what God has placed within us. Okay? So, where am I at? Oh, okay, 10. In order that you what? What's the word? Walk? Well, you know what? If you look at the language, it says live. In order that you live worthy of the Lord. You think God cares if I walk this way? Or this way? Come on, we got to get past this language stuff. God's concerned how we live. We don't care if we goose step or moonwalk or all this crazy. See, we got to get these words out of our mind so when we read this, we don't slip right back in that carnality that quick. See, we read that word and say walk. Oh, it's the way you walk. We got to get our mind. It's life. How do I live? See, I have to live worthy of the Lord to what? It says, to all pleasing. The language should say it this way. To please Him in all respects. Does that make more sense? See, I got to live a way that's pleasing unto Him, worthy unto Him, so that I can please Him in all respects. That's all we desire to do. I just want to please my Father, don't you? That's all I want. Just let me please my Father. I'm not worried about anything else. Being fruitful. Oh, here. If I'm pleasing Him in all respects, what am I going to be? We'll be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay. The more I learn about God, guess what it's going to do to you? It's going to produce more fruit in your life. See, when someone comes up and stomps on your toe, you're not going to punch them, kick them off. You're going to stand there and say, excuse me, did you know you were crushing my foot? And as soon as you get through doing that, I would appreciate it as soon as possible that you could step off. See? Not being angry at the person because they really don't realize what they're doing to you. Most people that hurt you don't know they're hurting you. They're only protecting themselves. See? It's the serpent nature that lies within humanity. If you step on a snake, what will it do? It'll bite. That snake didn't say, I'm going to hurt you. It was something built in there long before you ever come about. It's that beast nature that's inherent in the human being to reach out and protect themselves because they've been hurt. If you understand everybody that comes against you, they're only doing it because they have been hurt. That's all it is. This world is so full of hurt. And if you can look past the hurt, there's how you're going to bring fruit into your life, into the kingdom of God, by loving these people that come and hurt you. Loving them. Not shoving them away. Not keeping them at arm's length, but embracing the ones that hurt, saying, I understand you've been hurt. I ain't hurt. That's okay, I still understand. I just want to love you. I'm not hurt. Sure they are. They're sitting in Babylon, the middle of the road, see, in that valley of decision, and they don't know which way to go because they can't, because they're not permitted. Okay? They're not permitted yet. Okay. Verse 11. After you've been increased in the knowledge of God, he said, he wants you, they pray that he wants you strengthened or enabled in all power, according to his glorious power, to all what? Not just patient, but patient enduring is what the language says. Okay. Patient enduring. Patience is one thing, but you know what? With the word enduring going with it, means I'm sitting here patiently. I'm just waiting for somebody to show up. I'm sitting here waiting patiently, enduring somebody stomping on my toe, and I'm still doing it patiently, waiting for it to go down. There's an enduring here with it. I'm going through something while I'm waiting. It's not like I'm sitting over here drinking an iced tea watching the TV while it goes on. It means I'm going through some kind of hell. I'm patiently enduring the sufferings of this world while I'm waiting for it to come through. Okay? But the knowledge is going to bring these things to us. And long-suffering or perseverance with joyfulness. Now, he says long-suffering, right? Patient enduring or perseverance with what? Joy. How many people's getting your foot stomped on, your toes smashed, kicked in the shins, punched in the nose, kicked in the ribs and saying, thank you, Father. Okay? But that's basically what we're trying to say here. When it's all going down, it's not an attitude. Well, I had a right to punch them because they kicked me first. Well, you know, that's the way Americans think. That's the way humanity thinks because they got rights. But I swear, once you hear this truth, you'll realize you don't have rights. Guess what you got? All I got is a right to say this. Amen. Whatever you want, Father, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to take what you give me. Because you know what? You got the best thing for me. You're the one that created me. See, I'm not a Volkswagen, and I'm not going to take this Volkswagen to a Cadillac dealer and try to get them to fix it, because they don't know anything about a Volkswagen. He was the original manufacturer. So I'm going to go back to him to get me straightened up. You hear me? I'm going to go back to my Father and let him straighten me up. Okay? Oh God, there's a bunch here. We got to have some joy in this time we're going through. And he says, giving thanks to the Father. See there? Giving thanks to the Father, the one that enabled me or has made us, right, to be partakers or to share in the inheritance. And that word inheritance is the care and the oversight and the administration of the saints. See? It's about looking over the saints. Paul said, you know, I'm doing this and I want you to have the same thing. I want you to have the ability to have the care and the oversight and administration to the saints. In what? Huh? In light. Well, you know what? If my mind is dark, I surely can't put light in your mind. Do you hear what I'm saying? I have got to have the light glowing very brightly in me before anybody's going to see it. Right? See, everybody's running around with a little ember air on their pile of wood, fanning it, trying to keep it alive. You don't have to. When it's his, I don't have to worry about keeping my light going, because it's not about what I do, is it? It's about what he's already accomplished. And when I realize that, guess what? I'll quit sweating. I'm not talking about natural here. I'm talking about I'll quit sweating in my own strength. I'll quit building bricks for Pharaoh. See? I'm not a very good brick mason. I don't want anything to do with bricks. Too much labor for me. See? I'm going to rest in this thing, and God's going to do what he wants, and I'm going to give him an amen in anything he wants to do. I'm with him. Okay? And this light here, it says, the inheritance of the saints, or the oversight, or the administration of the saints in light. Light is also spiritual truth. So we have to be an administrator of this spiritual truth, giving it to the saint. Hear me? That's part of the job. Just like Lloyd was doing this morning. He brought some light that God had given to him, and he shared it with the rest of us. See, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share that thing. See, I don't have to do it all the time. Somebody else should be coming around doing this too. Taking part of the load off me and let everybody else do it. Because we don't want corn soup this morning, do we? That's just a one little gall thing. We ought all the vegetables put in, make it a good soup. Okay? Now, verse 13. Here's where we're getting the real kicker. Who has delivered, past tense, okay, or rescued us from the power or the jurisdiction of darkness or ignorance. He has already rescued us from the jurisdiction of ignorance. You know what he's saying? Just what Ezekiel said. He took out the stony heart and give you a soft heart. Same thing. See, he rescued me from the jurisdiction of ignorance. That's Adamic nature. That's worldly nature. He said, I've already done it. I don't have to wait to be changed, and neither do you. See, it's already been done. If you don't believe it's done, you'll never come to that truth. Not in this lifetime. You've got to believe what he said. It's done. Past tense. I've already delivered you. See, if I think that he hasn't delivered me, I'm going to be sitting here waiting to be delivered, right? So I'll never change, because I'm going to think I can't change till he does what he's got to do. And the last thing Jesus said on the cross was, it is finished. He did it. Now, Paul's just telling you what he did. Okay? Who has already delivered us from the jurisdiction of ignorance and has transferred us, not translated, he has transferred us, and that means change from one place to someplace else, right? He's transferred us into the kingdom or the rule and realm of his dear son. That word kingdom is basilia. It means the rule and the realm. So he's translated us from the jurisdiction of the ignorant one, that's ourselves, and now he's placed us over here in the rule and the realm of his dear son. So who should be ruling and reigning here today? The Son, Christ. See, not my will any longer, is it? See, it's about what He wants, not what I want. So I've already been translated into that kingdom. See, because I'm in a stage of what? Correction. That's what this book's about, the correction. Setting things in order. Okay, verse 14. In whom we have what? The word redemption here means ransom paid in full. We have the ransom paid in full. This ain't a down payment any longer. I'm tired of hearing this down payment crap. And that's what it is. Because it's not a down payment. It's been paid in full according to the language of this book. It's full payment through His blood. The word even isn't there. The forgiveness of sin or the pardon of sin. Okay? And this word pardon here of sin literally means this. It's as though it never happened. Take the big spiritual eraser and wipe your mind clean of all the accusations that your mind put there because it never happened in God's eyes. Do you hear me? It never happened. It's an illusion in your mind. Your mind has accused you. That devil between your ears has accused you and falsely accused you ever since you came into this world. Guess what? It's time to erase that. His blood has already paid the price for that. The word sin. Oh. There's only one sin. See, I don't know why they ever use the word plural ever. Someone tell me what this one sin is. Unbelief. If I don't believe what God said, it don't make any difference if I stand on my head naked in the middle of the street and have sex with everybody in the world. It don't make any difference if I drink all the alcohol in the world. It don't make any difference if I take all the drugs in the world, if I kill people. If I don't believe God, what's the difference? I can do all the religious stuff too and it means nothing if I don't believe what God said. See, I can believe all the traditions and it'll never change me. I got to believe what God says. Okay? Verse 15. And this one who did this, who's already redeemed us, the one who's delivered us, he said, is the image or the representation of the unseen or invisible God, the firstborn of all, not every, all, not creature, but creation. He's the firstborn of all creation. Verse 16. Because in Him were all things created that are in where? The spirit realm. And that are in earth? The flesh realm. Visible and invisible. Earth realm, visible, invisible, spirit realm. It's always talking about. He said, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, this word dominions is rulers, or principalities, which is the language says leaders, whether they're rulers or leaders, or authorities, all things were created through Him and to Him. Through Him and to Him. Everything was created through Him and to Him. And He is, or He is to be, superior to all things. And in Him all things consist. Okay? He is to be superior to all things. Now, let me ask you a question. We can agree with the Scriptures right there. And said, in Him was all things created that are, whether they're visible or invisible. They were created by Him and for Him and for His pleasure. We can say those things. But when are you going to say, in me? When are you going to say, in me? If I am part of His body, how come it's not talking about me? Because I'm going to tell you what, I have a body. And in 1 Corinthians 15:46 it says it's not the spiritual first, but it's the natural, and the natural will teach you about the spiritual, right? Okay, in my body natural, if you take a hammer and smash my finger, you know what? My whole body knows about it and suffers in the pain. So So guess what? If he created all things, guess what we did? We were creating at the very same time. We were here when he did it. We were there when he did it. We were with him. We were one with him. I'm not talking about all of us glued together in a big mass called a body. I'm saying in our minds we were one with him, and we were with him in that spirit realm. Oh God, help us get past this shallowness of seeing this thing right here on the surface. Much more than that. And he is before all things, or superior. We did that, didn't we? Okay. Verse 18. And he, and that should be a capital H, he is the head of the body. That's the sound whole body. You know what? His body's never been anything but sound and whole. Because anything with the head separated from the body is what? It's dead. See? This thing has always been a sound whole body from the very beginning. It just had to go through some proving and testing and purifying and things like that. We all know something about them things, don't we? Okay? Who is the beginning? The firstborn, right? The firstborn, he's the body, the church, excuse me. The church, the ecclesia, the called out. That's not everybody that goes to church. This is the church, the called out people are the first fruit that God's talking about in all this understanding. Who is the beginning? They are the firstborn from what? Firstborn from the what? Well, you know, my book doesn't say dead is what everybody in the world says. Whoop, he died, and we put him in the ground today. That's not dead. Dead, my Bible and your Bible says the same thing. To be carnally minded is what? Dead. You're dead. If I'm carnally minded, I'm dead to the Spirit of God. So guess what? When he's talking about firstborn from the dead, he's not talking about somebody coming up out of a big box in the ground, flying up and saying, hey, here's a zombie walking now, I'm alive, I'm resurrected. That's not what God's talking about. He's talking about your mind being changed from carnality into the Spirit of God. See, my identity has changed. Now I know who I am. Now I'm not drawing from the darkness of ignorance, but guess what I'm drawing from? That light. That light that he's talking about. Okay? He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one to come out of that carnality. And he was, wasn't he? He's the first one that had his mind changed in the totality of God's thinking. He was the first one. That in him, that in all, and the word things ain't there, that in all. Now, when you say all things, people start thinking weird stuff. It's all external. But he said, when he might have the preeminence in all, now who are we talking about? People. He had preeminence or first place in me. See, there's preeminence. Why, let him have first place in me, and you let him have first place in you. That's giving him preeminence. We're not talking about in trees and buildings and all that foolishness. We're talking about an internal work here. Yeah. Uh-huh. That in all he not might, it should say it this way, that in all he receive preeminence. That's what it says. That in all he received preeminence. This is why it's all going on, that he received the preeminence in all. He wants to be in all and through all and to all and be all in all. Doesn't the book say that? So the only way he's going to have that is if I give him preeminence in my life. Because that's all he's after. He's not after trees and rocks and birds and stuff like that. He's after humans, the ones he's dealing with, his sons. He never said to an angel or any other creation that I want you to be my son. Okay. Verse 19. Because it pleased the Father that in him all fullness, the word shouldn't be there. Should not be there. It should say this. Because it pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwelled, past tense. It's already there. Been done from the very beginning. From the first verse in Genesis, it was done. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him to do what? Now, where it says reconcile, it should be reconcile fully. He is to reconcile fully all to himself. Things shouldn't be there again, another added word. All to himself. through him, I say, whether things in earth, that's in the flesh, or things in the spirit. So whether it's in flesh or spirit, he's going to reconcile all, not things, but all to himself. And guess what you are? Part of the all. That's all we are. We're part of the all. We don't have the preeminence. Who has it? He does. And you that, you being at some time, he said, but now, when? Now has he fully reconciled, he's fully reconciled you in the body of his flesh. He's telling you he now has done it through what? The body of his flesh that he offered upon that cross. That was the very thing that sealed the deal. The seal was set upon it when his flesh was offered. It is done now. It's not something that's going to be done sometime in the future. It wasn't something done in the past. It's done now when you understand he offered that for you. If nobody else wanted, he did it for you. You've got to be able to see this. In the body of his flesh through death to exhibit you, not present you, but to exhibit you holy and unblameable. The word unreprovable is not a good word. It's unaccusable. In his, not in his sight, but in his presence. God says this, you are unblameable, you're unaccusable in my presence. Do you hear that? In my presence, you can't be accused. You can't be. It's your own, you're accusing yourself. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, through, oh, I did that, I'm sorry. 23, I like that real well. Go back and do it again. 23. If indeed you continue, this is all what he's saying, if indeed you continue in the faith established and immovable, shouldn't be grounded and settled, should be immovable, established and immovable, and not moved away from the hope or the expectation of the gospel. Now, what's the gospel again? The reconciliation of all creation. The message of the gospel is this, that God is going to reconcile all back to himself, that all families would be blessed, right? Galatians 3, 8, and 9 tells you about what happened in Genesis 12, 3, and he said, this, the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen says, he preached the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, if he hadn't said saying, we wouldn't know what was going on. But he said, saying, in you, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham did one thing that pleased God. He believed what he said. See how hard this is? You got to believe. It's so simple that anybody can see it. All you have to do is believe what God said. That's it. Just believe it. Not with an intellect, but in your heart, in your spirit. Oh, and not being moved away from the expectation of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached in, not to, it was preached in all creation. You know why? What does the covenant say? God said, I'm going to write it in your heart. It was already preached to you by Spirit before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. In Job, didn't he say, Job 37 or 38, 37, 5 or 38, 5, he says, Job, where were you when the morning stars sung together? One of the translations says, weren't you standing right here, Job, beside of me? Weren't you here? Don't you remember? That's what God's trying to do, let you remember what he's already done in your heart. Oh, help us, Father. Help us. Which was already preached to all the creation, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The word who in verse 24 shouldn't be there. Should just say, now rejoice in my sufferings or my hardships or my pains concerning you, and fill up that which is behind or lacking, okay, of the afflictions, or literally thlipsis is the word, it's pressure. So, and fill up that which is lacking of the pressures of Christ in my flesh concerning his body, which is the church, the called out ones. So Paul is saying, let me read the whole thing to you again. Who now rejoice, and the word who isn't there, now rejoice. He said he's made a minister, now rejoice in my sufferings, my hardships, my pains concerning you, and fill up that which is lacking of the pressures of Christ in my flesh concerning his body, which is the church. Not everybody, is it? It's the ones that's called. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation. People use this word in the Bible, dispensation, as being a period of time. Wrong. It has nothing to do with time. This word dispensation speaks of administration or stewardship. It has nothing to do with time. Okay? So it's according to the administration or the stewardship of God, which is given to me concerning what? You. To fulfill the Logos, or the Word of God. The word even shouldn't be there. It said the Word of God, the mystery, right? Now this word mystery means something hidden, a hidden thing not obvious to your understanding. You know, this book has been here from thousands of years now. These writings have been around, but they were not obvious to the understanding of the mind of humanity, were they? Okay. That's the mystery of it. Do you realize what a mystery it is to look into this book and see things that the book says kings and angels have desired to see and can't see? Do you realize what honor it is to look in here and see this? This is nothing to be taken lightly. Man, this is life. We're seeing things that the billions of people can't see today, and billions before us have never seen. It don't make us any better than anybody else, but it gives us a liberty and a freedom that they have never experienced. And the liberty and the freedom in God is the greatest thing in the world. It's fantastic. And that's where he wants us to be. Not so we can all go out and do our own thing, but we can understand what the truth of this all is about. Being what he wants us to be and doing what he wants us to do. Oh, gosh. Whereof I am made a minister according to the administration or stewardship of God, which is given to me concerning you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made apparent or rendered apparent to his who? Well, don't tell me it's locked up. Don't tell me it's something you'll come to someday. This thing is open. This book is open. To whom God, not would, see that's like maybe someday he will if you're a real good guy. That's not what it's about. He said, to whom God desired to make known what the wealth or riches of the glory of this hidden thing, not obvious to the understanding, is in the Gentiles. He wanted to reveal that this thing is already in you, and the church has tried to keep you from getting to that. Oh, if you'll come up here and slobber and snot on a board and boo-hoo for a few minutes, God will forgive you. Hogwash. There's nothing here about that. What he wants you to do is know the truth. God is in you. If God wasn't in every human being on this earth, they would be dead meat. That's all they'd be, a bag of dirt laying on the ground, because they wouldn't even be animated without God in them. Because man did not become a living soul until the Spirit of God was introduced into this dirt bag. When the Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, introduced his spirit in Genesis 2:7 into this body, we became a living soul. There was no life in us until that point. And if God ever departed from us, there would be no more life. See? All we did as Lord God was we created this claymation figure. How about that? We took some silly putty or some clay and we formed a body out of it and said, hey, that's pretty nice, isn't it? And until God breathed his spirit into there, guess what? There was no life in it. It was just a clay figure. It was nothing. And if God ever departed from any human being, that's all they'd be, is a pile of clay. Just some dust. Okay? Let me see if we can land this ship here somewhere. To whom God desired to make known what the wealth or the riches of the glory of this hidden thing not obvious to the understanding is in the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Who was he talking to? To you, individually. He's talking to you. This is the great mystery, and you should know it, that Christ is in you. This is what he's trying to say. I'm trying to tell you. God wants you to know it's not Christ in the preacher. It's not Christ in a priest or a rabbi or some other apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. That's the mystery. It's Christ in you. I want to read you something. I want to back up into Ephesians and read you something, if I can get it done here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 11. I want to read this to you. That by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We're talking the same mystery. Which in other ages or generations was not made known to the sons of humanity, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. The word that shouldn't even be there. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, through the good news. What's the good news? He's going to reconcile all of creation back to God. Whereof I was made a servant according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the working of his power. To me, who am less or is the least of all saints, in this grace given that I should preach or announce these good news in the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Literally, the which cannot be searched out or revealed by your natural understanding. That's the whole mystery. And to make all see, not all men, but all humanity, see what the fellowship, what the fellowship of the mystery is, which from the beginning of the world or the age has been hid in God, who created all through Christ Jesus Christ, to the intent or in order that now the principalities and powers in heaven be known through the church, the manifold or the diverse. And here's what it is. This is it. Not the manifold wisdom, but the diverse or much variegated. Many colored, many nations. It's in all of us. There's what he's trying to tell us. It's in all the saints. According to all his creation, not just the saints. According to the eternal or the ageless purpose. Or let me say the word. According to the eternal prosthesis. Oh, there's that old Greek word again. You know what it means? Showbread. He said, I want to show you this manifold or much variegated or diverse wisdom of God according to the ageless showbread. Who is that? It's the first fruit. See, that's what the showbread was. There was 12 loaves there. It was showbread in the temple. That's what that first thing was talking about. It wasn't about 12 loaves of bread to keep God happy because he liked to eat carbs. Come on. This was something deep and spiritual here. It's first fruit. It's his leadership of his kingdom. It's his ruling class of people. Okay? And he says, this was the eternal purpose or the aeonious showbread, which he literally made in Christ Jesus. He purposed or made in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have the boldness and access, right? The freedom in speaking without fears, without figures and shadows and types. We can say the truth.
Does that sound familiar? We can just say the truth. We don't have to walk around the mountain. Just say it. Tell the truth. Let me get back over that. I'll start preaching there again. There's another parallel verse in Romans. Romans 16, verse 24 through 26. And I do want to just touch it. Romans 16, 24. Just take a second to do it. 24 through 26. Okay? Are we ready? Romans 16, verse 24 through 26. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's, you know, that divine influence in your heart and the reflection out into your lifestyle, of our Lord Jesus Christ be in the midst of you all. Amen. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel, which is the gospel of inclusion, as what's his name? Carlton Pearson calls it now, the gospel of inclusion, same thing, gospel of reconciliation, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, it has to be revealed or you can't preach it, which was kept secret since the age begun, but now is apparent, made manifest or made apparent, and through the scriptures, but now is made apparent, and through the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the age-abiding God, made known to who? Made known to all nations, and we're not talking about countries. It's the imaginations up here. He's made to all nations to the obedience of faith. You know what's going to happen when you understand this truth? What did God say he wanted? I would rather have obedience than sacrifice. When you understand this truth, nobody's going to have to tie you up and whip you at a post to make you be obedient to God. Because there's only one thing that comes out of knowing this truth. It's a love and obedience to God. There's nothing else. No one can force this. This is something God is going to bring in your heart. And when you hear this truth, I'm not talking about hearing it here in your chest. I'm talking about hearing it in the very center of you in your spirit. When you hear it, not with these eardrums, but when you hear it in your side, in your very center, all you want to do is be obedient. Now, verse 28. Whom we proclaim, not warning, but cautioning all humanity. We caution all humanity with this truth. And teaching all humanity in all wisdom, and it's spiritual wisdom. We teach them in all spiritual wisdom. We don't need all the carnality, okay? In order that we may present all humanity complete or perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the only benefit to this thing. I'm not doing this for my health. I'm not doing it as a popularity contest. I'm doing it to present you perfect and complete in Christ. I hope to God you understand that. It's only about getting you where you need to be. And it's not about me making you go there. It's me showing you the way. Okay? Verse 29. To which I also labor, striving according to his working or his energy, which is active in me in miraculous power. That's what Paul's saying. He says, God working in me, this ain't me. And if you think for 1 minute this is me that's saying what I'm saying right now, you missed the point. And it's not even about me anyway. It's about him and you. Me and him got our own thing going on. Okay? You need to get your thing going on with him. And if you do, you'll hear and see the same things that I see and hear. You may have another flavor, but you know what? All these rivers run into the same ocean. Every one of us. We're all going to go back to where we came from in him. We can't say God said it's red and then he said it's white. No, that ain't it. God said it is, it is. See? I don't care what color it is, size, shape, description. God is not going to tell you something different than he tells me. God is no respecter of persons. He's not going to tell me one way to go and tell you to go another way. Do you understand that? God's going to do the same thing, because my book says it and so does yours. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Malachi 3:6 it says, I am the Lord God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. We better hope he never changes his mind, because if he does, we're in some serious trouble. But he ain't going to change his mind. Thank God for that. Woo! Huh?